You're listening to The New Day, Feel the Power. Here's one of our favorite episodes, and you can check out more from the archives on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Welcome to the greatest podcast of all time, which is entitled The New Day. Feel the power.
Drag it out because you guys went slow-mo and my stuff is normally long, so I had to stretch it out. I wasn't prepared
even
for that.
Longer. Even right, longer than usual. Right.
Can I say something before we actually get into this? I'm a little wrong for this, but Kofi, you're wearing a backwards cap right now.
I am.
And it does remind me a little bit of, you know, the Steve Buscemi gif where he says, hey, kids. Don't be over 40. I'm just saying, I feel like there might be an age limit.
No. You know what it is? Have we talked about this before? I know we've talked about it personally, but my head is abnormally large, okay?
Okay.
To the point where I can't wear like a normal snapback. Like I would always have to literally, if I wanted to fit comfortably, it would have to be on like the last snap. And that's obviously like too embarrassing to walk around in public like that. So for years, everybody in like middle school is wearing baseball caps in high school, you know, and all the time, but I could never wear one. And I found, I actually got targeted on Instagram for like these hats, you know. They targeted me, you know, and they found me. They sought me out. They saw that my head was really big on Instagram and they advertised these melon, I think it's called melon hats. And it's like melon XL. I'm like, you know what? Let me give it a shot. And they fit, dude. So I ordered like two of them. So for the past like 2 days, I've been just wearing hats like a normal person, you know? So I feel good. And it might be 38 years late, okay? But that's okay, you know? Because better late than never, man. This is great. They fit.
I love it. Respect. When we sat down and when you came on the call, I was thinking to myself, why is he wearing a backwards? And it's backwards and like to the side, like to the corner, like it's like 92.
Bro, exactly. It makes its way around like all day. So I start with it forward, then it goes like 15 degrees, then, you know, 75 degrees. I'm a kid in a candy store right now. You guys don't understand the plight. And actually the only other person, Samoa Joe, actually, so he put me on some hats from like eBay or something, which like didn't fit right for me because he has a big head too. And as soon as I got these and they fit in, he was the first one I texted. I was like, bro, you got to check out these hats. I'm like, man, they don't even know the struggle that we deal with these big domes that we have, you know? So it's a yeah. Thing, man.
Big is an understatement. We're talking about Joe's head. I don't want to be disrespectful. I love Joe, Joe got a gourd on his neck.
God.
Oh, gourd head.
My God. I didn't say it was a bad thing. I just said it's a very large head.
Yes, some people like gourds.
Right.
That needs to be a thing on commentary, you know, always talk about how big somebody's head is. Bring it back.
Well, of course, it reminds me of the Seinfeld where George is like putting on someone's sweater and he gets accused of stretching out the neck hole.
Because his head's too big.
Yeah. It's Tim Whiteley, I think, at Tim Whiteley's sweater. Anyways, who was Bryan Cranston. Something like that. Anyways.
Thanks for noticing. You know,
yeah,
I appreciate it.
Anti-dentite.
This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire. You're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
We also always talk about the three of us having big heads. Do we actually have big heads, or do we just think we have?
I have a large head. Xavier Woods have a large head.
Yeah, we didn't identify. Oh,
I've been trying to get back to it, but it's okay.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I am Big E. Yes,
that's I am Kofi Kingston with the big head.
And we all suffer from big headitis.
Uh-huh. Right. Big head syndrome. Yeah. It's a real thing.
I feel like mine, so I have a weird shaped head, but then obviously having all this hair makes it even more intense. So I definitely can't wear hats.
People think it's my hair. Like, oh, you got all that hair. I was like, nah, bro. I rocked a fade for the majority of my life. Could never wear a hat. It's a sad story. Trust me, I know. You know, you try to tell me like, oh man, it's your hair. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the one who's like living this. You know what I'm saying? You try to tell me what's going on. Like, I don't know what's going on. I know. Well, I know I got a big head.
With all these strong emotions on the size of our heads and the hats that we can wear, we are going to dive into a mailbag so we can learn even more about ourselves.
So, I can't stop thinking about that gift.
It's so good. It's so good.
So good. Because I don't know how old he was when he shot that, but he looks like he's 65.
All right. The first one I will say is from Brandon. And I said, what's one thing you learned about yourselves during the pandemic?
Wait, is this, his name is just at Brandon?
I don't want to see an at. I just see Brandon. I assume maybe his at was salacious or something.
Okay.
Fair. He had a good question.
First thing we learned about ourselves during the pandemic?
No, just one thing you've learned about yourself. So in all of this time that we have had at home doing this, not being able to go out, what's something that you have learned about yourself that you were not privy to prior?
I don't know if I learned anything new. I feel like certain things were heightened. Like I realized, oh, I really do love being alone. I knew I loved being alone before, but God, I love not seeing people. It's great. I suppose I talk about this often and probably too much, but I started meditating daily. I have like 160-day streak, I think, at this point, very close to that. And I realized, oh, okay, this is along the same, and I probably talked about this a lot too. I realized I used to hate walking. I used to not enjoy being outdoors and sweating in Florida. I love going on walks. In fact, right before we sat down to record this, I had to kind of hurry and shower because I just came from a walk. That's what I do these days. I go for a nice 30-minute walk. I'll go work out. I'll stretch. So I'm at the gym for about 2 hours. I'll come back, eat real quick, and I'll just put some headphones on. And sometimes I'll text, but usually I try to put my phone away and I just go for a stroll, think, look around. So that's the one thing I learned. I learned that I enjoy a leisurely walk.
At peace.
Peaceful, yeah. geez, for me, I don't know, man. I think I was like pleasantly surprised, you know. So obviously we've been on the road for a very, very long time. And especially like with my family, like my kids have only known me to be on the road. I've never been home for any kind of extended periods of time with the exception of, I guess, the ankle surgery that I had. But even that was only like 6 weeks, you know what I mean? Or 8 weeks or whatever it was. But it was pleasant to find out that my family actually likes me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, like we joke about it, but it's like you spend so much time away. It's like when people have like long distance relationships, right, for a really long time, and then you move in together, and then you realize like you hate each other. It's like, oh, we can't spend this much time together. So that, not that I was like nervous that would happen, but I was, I guess, surprised or pleasantly surprised that I was embraced, you know, like it was an affirmation that like, okay, like you guys don't like me in spurts, you know what I mean? Like you like me being here, like on a consistent basis, you know? So that was pleasantly surprising. You know, we've talked about all the quantity and quality time that we've gotten to spend with our families. For me, it's just been amazing. One amazing thing after we built a deadlift platform the other day, you know, and I had the kids paint the actual, like the wood piece in the middle, you know, and my wife too got in on it too. So like, now that, you know, having the home gym, anytime I go in there and I'm about to deadlift, you like, you look down on the ground and now I see all this like artwork, you know, and if I need like a little extra motivation to kind of get that extra rep, you know, I'm just like thinking like, damn, like I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about like, you know, my family, you know, we put this thing together, you know, together. So now let me get this last rep up, you know? So yeah. And then on top of that too, you were talking about like sweating, E. As you guys know, like when we go to the gym and work out, like I do not sweat. I very rarely sweat. But now having put the home gym in my garage, the humidity level and the heat is just, it's crazy. It's intense. There's no moving air in there. But I've come to like crave that, which is so, so strange to me because back in high school with wrestling and, you know, having to like make weight, I vowed I would like never like make myself sweat, you know, if I didn't have to. And now I feel like if I don't sweat, like I'm not getting a good workout. So it's weird to have like kind of come like, I guess 180 in terms of like me not feeling like I got a workout unless I sweat, you know? So it's really, it's, you know, random, but definitely a little strange for me.
So that was your big takeaway from high school wrestling?
Yeah.
I don't want to sweat ever again. You walked away. That was the lesson you learned. I will never sweat again.
I love that. Yeah, there's so many things in my head that I learned from wrestling that I took with me for the rest of my life. And your main was, I will not sweat unless I absolutely have to.
Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, like having to drop weight. And for me, like my body fat was very like, you know, I didn't have much body fat. I didn't have much to lose from. So for me to have to lose like 5 pounds and, you know, we did this the complete wrong way. I would never recommend this to anybody, but to have to go into like a sauna or a steam room and put on this, you know, like rubber suit on or like garbage bag. And I'm trying to drop these 3 pounds and you're feeling so sucked out and emaciated. It's a horrible, terrible, awful feeling. And I vowed to never want to like feel that again to the point like there was a point in time, maybe it was like, even like a decade after high school, I had not been in a sauna or a steam room more than like twice because I didn't want to associate, you know, I didn't want to go back to feeling that way, you know? So only recently have I gone into like steam rooms and saunas and stuff. It was, I guess, traumatizing.
It sounds like it.
Talking about it now. So yeah, I know it's weird. It's weird, but you know, that's what I've gotten from the pandemic so far that I can think of on my head.
Oh, it's so good. Because my biggest thing like with wrestling was like, oh, I don't ever want to have to cut weight again. But it had nothing to do with like sweating or being hot. It's like that, right. That's what I just associated working out with. Like if I'm not like dripping sweat when I'm working out, I feel like I'm not working out hard. But yeah. It's the weight cutting. So I just it legit when I realized that you don't sweat, that scared me. Because if you're not sweating, like if you're not hydrated and like you could just like die from dehydration, you're like, oh no, I just don't sweat. And I was like, what? Like you work out in the gym regularly. You're a pro wrestler. What do you mean? I know you don't sweat. And
my feet would sweat. My feet would sweat heavily. Ugh. That was it. All the other pores, boycott.
Does your brother sweat?
Yeah, he sweats. I mean, he he sweats. He does. But not like profuse. Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering, being born in Ghana and, you know, being in sub-Saharan Africa, if you just, your body had adapted. Sweating less. That was just my one assumption. I don't know.
Honestly, I don't really know what my brother's sweat level is. I'll have to ask him about that. Yeah. I'm genuinely curious though, you know, because it might be like this hereditary, like evolutionary thing. I don't know.
I just want to see you trap him in a hot room and just film him. Yeah.
With no explanation. Doing, Kof? What are you doing, Kof? You know, I don't sweat. You know, I don't sweat.
No, I gotta check for myself.
It's like uncut gems and put them in the
book. I don't know for sure. My thing is very similar to yours, Kof, because obviously being on the road, like you miss a lot with your kids. And so I've got the 3-year-old. And so just being on the road constantly, like I got like videos and pictures and stuff and like FaceTime and all that stuff. So like you see a video of like first steps and like first words, but like you're not there for it. So there's always this... this feeling in the back of your mind. It's like, what am I contributing? What am I missing out on? Like what is happening without my knowledge? And like, how am I going to like keep a connection like with this kid? Like, are they going to be mad at me because I've been on the road for like this part of their life? And like when I'm finally home for like, quote unquote, like for good, like when they're a little bit older, like, is that going to be okay? Am I going to be able to build that? And so that's just like, that's always like a quiet fear in the back of my mind. And so for me, I feel like quarantine was a little different because I got hurt before quarantine. And so granted, I was still like traveling a ton, like with all the video game stuff. I think I was on the road more when I got hurt. than I was when I was wrestling. But I was getting to come home in more spurts rather than being gone for like 3 weeks at a time and then home for a week. I'd be gone for like 3 days and come back for a day, then being gone for four. And so once quarantine hit, it made me feel, I guess better about that connection with my kids, because I've got, at that point, we had the newborn. And so just being here with him every day and, you know, getting him up and playing with him and seeing him like start, he started like walking. So it's like terrifying because, you know, we got the baby gates and stuff. So now we got to watch the stairs and got to watch. There's like a little trampoline that nope, can't get on that. Like it's like babies just all want to jump off head first into everything. And it's like, where's your life preservation thing in your head? Come on, like, don't jump off the couch like that. So it makes, I don't know, for me, that's one thing I realized. Like I realized like it's going to be okay pretty much. And that's like a, I don't know, it sounds... But like it's a kind of huge relief and a huge thing in my head.
I feel like it's something that like unless you live a life where you're away from your family at for an extended period of time, like you almost can't like relate, you know? Because it does sound weird to like say that out loud, like you said. But I think with us, you know, I'd imagine like military families are the same way. But yeah, no, I feel that, man. That's awesome that you were there for those first steps, dude. Oh my God. Oh my God. Crazy.
All right. So next question, bring it back a little bit to some levity. What are your feelings on cheese that comes from a can?
Me? Well, I hate cheese. I hate cheese. And it's funny because before I stopped eating dairy and meat and everything, you know, I would eat pizza, I would put Parmesan cheese and stuff. But cheese in general, it just grosses me out. Just like the sound, the word cheese is disgusting to me. It's like thinking of the whole process in which the cheese is made and then, you know, the milk coming from the udders and all that. And sometimes, like, I don't want to gross anybody out, but if you go and look at the process in which the milk comes out of the udders, you might have a hard time drinking milk. Okay.
Go ahead and explain it.
Well, I mean, so they put these like, you know, like the I don't even know, like the milking machine on the udders. And sometimes if the cows aren't taken care of properly, they will, it'll like irritate around the udders. So there'll be like pus and like blood and stuff that will get into the milk. Now, this is all pasteurized, right? Like they heat it up and they kill all the germs. But to me, if you drop some blood or pus in my meal and just heat it up and give it to me and tell me it's okay. Nah, bruh, I'm not, I could do without that. You can miss me with that, as they say. So I can't do cheese. And even to the point now where like they have like vegan cheese, but I can't eat it because of the word cheese. When I hear the word cheese, it just instant, my stomach starts turning. As a matter of fact, we have a game that we play in this house when we go to the park called the cheese game. Where my kids, if you go to a park, you'll see like a mulch and pretend like, oh, this is a cup of lemonade. So my kids will pretend like it's a cup of lemonade or like a, you know, some kind of food, and I'll be eating it. And they'll be like, oh no, it's cheese. And then I say, what? I thought I told you I don't like cheese. And now I'm the cheese monster and I'm chasing my kids around because I'd rather eat my kids than eat the cheese. You know, so that's
what? You have villainized cheese to the point where...
Yes, yeah. And we get to the part and the kids are like, well, Daddy, I want to play the cheese game. And I'm looking around like everyone's like, well, what's the cheese game? Like, well, I don't really like cheese. And I just chase the kids around and almost, you know, try to eat them for feeding me cheese. It doesn't make sense. But this is what we do in our household.
So you hate cheese so much that you choose cannibalism over cheese,
and not just cannibalism of children,
but cannibalism of the children that you bore, that your wife bore, that you have raised, that you love. Yeah. So that's how much you hate cheese. Cannibalism in the name over cheese.
Very rarely do I catch them, you know? So I technically haven't eaten them yet.
But your intent.
My intent, yes.
The intent is there.
Don't feed me cheese. Learn that like early, you know? So when you get to be an adult, it's not a joke. Oh, Daddy, you want some cheese? Nah, get that out of my face, son. You know, you're grounded. I'll eat you.
So it's to the point where like, so do they like cheese?
You know, their taste buds kind of change. So they'll like we'll have them have like the vegan cheese, obviously, every now and then. It depends on what the food is. my older son doesn't like cheese on his pizza. So if we go to a restaurant, we'll order a gluten-free pizza with tomato sauce, and that's it. No, nothing else on it. You know,
he would hate that. He wouldn't want anything to do with that.
I know. I saw him shaking his head.
Yeah, because the only thing he wants on the pizza is the cheese.
Look, there's no need to bring that up. There was
go ahead.
Well, we were on tours. We would do these European tours, and I'm trying to keep my carbs low. So I would just scrape the cheese off and just eat the cheese and kind of, you know, throw the bread away. And for a while, I told you this, but for a while, I would just go to the store. I'd go to Publix and I would get big bags of mozzarella cheese, just shredded cheese. And I wouldn't mix it with anything. You know, sometimes you would buy, there's like my mom used to buy the cheeses for the macaroni and cheese that she would make. And that's what the cheese are kind of for. They're usually for something. You put them in something. Not me. I put in a little container, a little Tupperware, and I would just fill up the Tupperware with some cheese, put that bad boy on for a minute, and just take a fork and eat plain cheese. At one point, I did add some tomato sauce, a little bit of tomato sauce to spice it up. But I love cheese. And all this cheese slander, if I'm being honest, rubbing me the wrong way.
This might be the end.
But I will say we also need to get back to the question. The origin of the question was not just cheese, but cheese in a can.
In a can.
And I grew up on Cheese Whiz. And Cheese Whiz was delicious. You can argue that it's not healthy for you. It's not good for you. You can argue all you want. I understand. But Cheese Whiz, cheese in a can, big thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them, in mm-hmm. fact, two thumbs up. It's very good. It's very tasty. The only reason I've curtailed my cheese usage these days is because, you know, they talk about dairy and inflammation and whatnot. So I don't eat as much cheese as I used to. But I will never slander cheese. I will never slander the taste. I love how it sounds too. Sometimes when I'm just sitting alone and I want to hear something melodic, I just say cheese.
You hit him with a nice fromage.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big cheese fan.
When we were kids, so we were very big on like not cheese boards, because it was just like, if somebody's parents like had like a little snack thing out, we would only eat the cheese and the crackers. And so we figured out like, oh, if we just bought a thing of Ritz crackers and a thing of Cheese Whiz, we would set up like a little factory where we'd have two people on the Cheese Whiz and two people on the crackers. So the two people on the crackers put a cracker down, Cheese Whiz down, and then the next cracker goes on, and we have like an assembly line, and we would make like, I don't know, like 100 of these things and just eat them throughout the week. Cause it was the easiest thing for us to make as kids. And again, Cheese Whiz, delicious. We'll get you.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com. to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Next question is from @KevinSalmo. Which band, rapper, or singer would you bump hard when alone but not around the others?
I don't really have any shame. So yeah. If we're talking about like music that you wouldn't expect me to necessarily listen to, I've loved System of a Down for quite some time. And definitely during quarantine, I've listened to more System of a Down. And for me, it's mostly hip hop with R&B as well. So I don't really listen to a lot of metal. but System of a Down is incredible. That Toxicity album is mm-hmm. flawless. It's incredible. And then there's a few other songs, a few other albums that I enjoy. Like there's tracks from other albums, but BYOB, TV Radio is a thing. There's a few others. Hypnotize.
The Aerials one though?
Aerials is on Toxicity.
Okay.
That Toxicity album is incredible.
It's so good.
I would say System of a Down. And I also really love Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
There's a Ceremonials album. She's incredible. I think she's a very incredible performer.
So it's weird. So like you said, we're all very comfortable with each other's music and we all pretty much like it for the most part. But I do like a lot of what Kofi would call, and you can beat this, I guess, that singing.
Singing. That's right.
So I'll listen to like old school R&B, but it's like maybe like Devin Campbell or what, like some Ralph Tresvant or something. And if Kofi's awake in the car, he don't like
it. No, headphones on. Headphones go right on.
No more conversations with me and Eve. It's just gone.
I'll tune out. I mean, I respect that you listen to it. It's like, I always say with Drake, I love Drake, rapping Drake. I can't stand singing Drake. And it's not because of his talent. It's just because I don't enjoy listening to a lot of like singing and whining and you know what I mean? Like I don't want to hear you whining. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you know, you got your heart broke. Okay. But that's fine. I don't need to hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like I just don't need to hear it, man.
He said the only wine he wanted is that Dutchy wine.
You know, that Dutchy wine. Put some bass in it. You know, give me some, I don't know, a fast beat. Give me something. Just don't whine in my ear. You know, I'm putting the headphones on my ear. You're getting real close to me like you're about to tell me something and you're going to whine in my ear. I don't want that.
Is that what you think R&B is whining?
I think that's what he thinks it is.
A lot of it is whining, yes. Yeah. But I would rather have some upbeat.
You talked about the slander you got for that Bruce Lee decision in the tournament.
Much worse.
The slander you're about to get for this R&B.
More whining. People are going to whine to me about which is what I'm trying to avoid in the first place. You know, great.
How dare you?
Thanks, guys.
How dare you?
You say that about R&B. So, get out of my ear, bro. Get out of my eardrum, dog.
This is a horrible take for the record. Terrible. This is a horrible terrible. Take.
It's terrible. Just not for me. That's all, you know?
So let me ask you this. So how do you feel about Jodeci?
Take him or leave him.
What? Oh, my God.
No, I understand.
The things you're about to go through right now. This whole week, the things you're about to go through.
The genre is not for me. It's just not for me. That's all.
It's Jodeci.
There's a handful of songs.
Stay? Come on.
Feenin?
If it comes on, then like for the sake of nostalgia, the fact that it was on at the middle school dance and you know, you go and you slow dance with some girls in the dance. Like I remember that. That was cool. But I don't want to like, I'm not going to go search it out. I'm not going to go to Spotify and then type Jodeci in the search. You know, and this is, again, nothing against Jodeci. I would love to meet them. I respect them. I respect everything that they have done for the music industry. I respect all the people that have followed them all these years, you know, and appreciate them. I appreciate the people that appreciate them. But as far as putting that genre on a playlist, you want me to put that on a playlist and listen to a list of songs all whining? Nah, bruh.
This is easily the worst thing you've ever said on this podcast.
It is. Nah, it is, bro.
Easily.
We might
have no more listeners after this, Cole.
It's just not podcast. I'm not saying for you not to listen to it, you know? I'm not saying for you not to listen to it. I'm just saying for me, I'm not going to seek out something like Jodeci. I'll listen to the song, but I'm not going to, I just won't put it on my playlist, man. If it comes on, like if it was in the car and I had my headphones on because y'all were playing some of that singing, and I heard that come on, I would take my headphones off. I'll listen to that song, but then I'll put them back. I don't know. I won't even listen to the full song. I'll listen to like maybe 30 seconds or you know, one loop. I don't know. But yeah, it's not for me, man. It's not for me.
I could respect you saying it's not for me, but when you went into that whole diatribe about whining and whatnot, it was really, it's virtually offensive. It's pretty much what it is. I feel like after this podcast drops, I'm going to have to distance myself from you. Maybe put out a PR statement and let people know that Kofi's views expressed by one Kofi Sarkodie Mensah do not reflect the views of myself and Austin Watson. It's really deplorable.
Kofi, when you speak for yourself, you also speak for your group. So we got to do what we got to do.
That's what I was going to say. Since I was about to say country music. That's where I was going to go with my answer. But since I don't like the R&B, you know, that means that we all don't like the R&B, right? So let's keep the gimmick strong, guys. We're about 6+ years deep, okay? Let's keep it strong, okay?
Yeah, okay. So if you're going to say that's what the whole group says, we're not saying that, because it's not like y'all don't listen to Samantha James or 07. That's my jams.
Yeah, but I feel like I rep, you know, like K-pop, you know, I'll rep K-pop because of you. You know, you like K-pop, hey, I'm right there with you, you know? You dislike something, I'm right there. I'm right by your side, bro. I'm attached to the hip, you know? I'm conjoined. You know me, I'm conjoined. I thought that was the... correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that was the gimmick, you know? I thought that was the gimmick.
Don't you use our friendship against us.
So, come on, y'all. Stand with me. Stand with me. We can't stand that singing shit. Okay? No. We can't stand it. Print it.
Here, the next question before Kofi digs his hole in deeper for himself. All right, we'll throw this to you, E. Though it says mostly for E. What is your opinion on the finale of Seinfeld?
Look, it was slandered. Have you guys seen the Seinfeld finale?
No.
No.
So it's kind of a clip show.
Well, spoilers. I'm joking.
Yeah, good joke.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Well done.
Appreciate it. Get a quick jab in on you. I haven't seen it in a minute, you know?
Yeah, Sean, can you make sure to cut that part out?
No. Anytime I ask to get stuff cut, you leave it in. So leave it in. I want it in.
Anyways, so the Seinfeld finale is a set. It's kind of, people, I've seen it called a clip show. But the premise is, so they are supposed to, the episode before, they get on a chartered flight, like all the friends, all four of them, get on a chartered flight because they're headed to Los Angeles from New York to film a pilot. And anyways, it's not to film a pilot. Anyways, they'd already filmed a pilot for Seinfeld, but they were getting another opportunity to do a show, like a sitcom of their own. And so to skip all the nuances and whatnot, essentially the plane has to be rerouted, I believe, to Massachusetts. And they laugh at this very overweight man who's getting robbed, and they film him. And there's, in this town, there's been a new law enacted called a Good Samaritan law. And if you don't actually do something within reason to help someone in need, you can be arrested or fined. And they were made an example of. And it's actually, I thought it was pretty clever because they're all terrible people. Like they have very little redeeming value. So them going out that way. So they end up having to go to court in this town, I believe it's in Massachusetts, if I remember correctly, somewhere in New England. And so they essentially bring back all these great, memorable characters for their trial who testify about their character or lack thereof. So it's cool to see so many former faces that we've seen before and know and love from the show. And it ends up with them actually being sentenced. They're guilty. They're found guilty. And then the show concludes with them being in jail. And we go out with, I think, like Jerry's doing stand up in the prison. And that's how the show kind of ends. It's real silly. But I don't know what people wanted out of. It's not a drama where we're building to some great cinematic, exciting end. I liked it, but I watched Seinfeld. I started watching it when it was in syndication because I was really, when it was actually on air, I think I just didn't get it or just didn't grab me. But pretty much as soon as it went to syndication, I started watching. And so I had already kind of heard some of the noise about people not loving the finale. So it was different from being in the moment and expecting something and wanting this great finale and being disappointed. I already knew like this is the show and I already heard all the buzz. But I really liked it. I haven't heard a better alternative for an end. I enjoyed it. I like that we got to see so many of the prominent guests from before that are really memorable. And I enjoyed it. A lot of people feel that it was a bad series finale. But most people are disappointed by series finales in general.
Yeah, that's like so... We were doing the show, Kofi and I were doing a deal on my YouTube channel, Up, Up, Down, Down, to subscribe if you haven't subscribed already, on Game of Thrones as it was airing in the last season. And I know that there was a bunch of controversy about like the final episode of Game of Thrones because like everybody wanted it to go their specific way. when you have that many people that are watching the show, so many people want so many different things. And it's always so interesting. I feel like there's very few, like you said, very few series where people can watch it and like the whole, or like the majority of the community is like, yeah, that feels right.
Right.
Because everyone's so attached to it. They want their own vision to be portrayed.
Did you two enjoy that last season, the whole last season? Did you think it was up to par?
I thought it was good, but it was not what I wanted.
Okay. Kof?
I thought the season itself, it kind of dragged on a little bit. But to me, the finale was, it was like the best case scenario. Because like, to me, everybody got what they wanted. I thought they tied up a lot of loose ends because there were some that
they did not. He left. And everybody getting what they wanted, like that's the messed up part. Like Cersei and what's his name and Jaime, why should they get what they want? They screwed everybody the whole series, and now they get to die together. No one gets that personal revenge on them. What is that? Right. I'm sorry, I'm gonna go off. Go ahead.
No, I know. I can't. You know what? It's obviously not a good ending, because if it was, I would be able to say that it was a good finale. But I feel like I can't say that. But at the end of I think that just, I don't know, all like, you know, Arya getting to go off in adventures and do what she does and still be Arya. And you know what I'm saying?
And then never use her skills that she learned.
Mm-hmm.
So dope.
Well,
what you got?
I'm saying with her, she went. You don't know what skill. What do you mean? You don't know what skill she
has? Many faces. She never used
faces, bruh.
That was the whole story arc for a full season.
But why can't she use them in her future endeavors? Why?
She 100% could.
On screen,
nothing to do with the screen.
Yes, you mean off screen?
That's what I'm saying. Is how it ended with her. That's what she got on that ship, right? And then she got to go off and like be adventurous Arya. You don't know if she uses those skills or not.
What you just explained is a Rocky movie where the credits roll after the montage before the big fight.
But that's what she wanted. She wanted to go off and be adventurous. Like her story doesn't end there. And then if I recall correctly, they were supposed to do like a spinoff show of her going on those adventures. So that was a continuation of like, I don't know. What did you want? What did you want?
I wanted her to change faces and do something.
Thank you.
Before the show ended. And like even once.
She did. She did it with what's her name's mom at the at the red wedding, didn't she? I mean, the dude who killed her mom, like, didn't she change into his space?
We're talking about the last season of the show right now.
But I understand. But you're saying like she didn't use the skill, but she did use the skill. So I don't know. I don't want to get into like a debate on Game of Thrones, whatever. But I'm just saying, like, to me, like the end of Game of Thrones, like she got to go off and do her thing. What's her name? Red haired chick's name? Sansa.
Sansa.
So yeah, so she, she got to be like the queen of Winterfell. She got to fulfill what she wanted. Like you were saying, Jaime and Cersei got to die from which they came in the womb, wrapped up together like they were born as twins. You know what I'm saying? Like, was Brandon being like the king was a little bit strange, right? Like,
scary.
You
knew you were going
to
be there.
That to me, yeah. That to me was like the weirdest part. It was like, why are you the kid? And you're supposed to have like the vision. But that aside, everything else, like to me was like, for the most part, I would say like 85% like kind of finished in the way that it, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's fine. It's allowed us to be able to debate about it. Many months passed, and so I guess it's good.
That show to me, just to wrap this up, that show to me is a very pretty, beautiful man or woman with no personality. That last season was just, you're real pretty, you look great, you got some real cool looking dragons, the White Walkers, they're menacing looking. But man, that last season was a stinker. And I'll say it.
You said it hard too.
I did, that's how I feel.
I think that I would have felt a lot better. And then again, yes, we need to move on because we'll just do this for 30 more minutes. If they would have not jobbed out the White Walkers in one episode after building them for like 7 years, I think I would have felt a lot better. Because even if it would have ended the way it ended, but we got like 3 episodes of White Walker fights and like, what's his name? Because I thought when everybody came back from the dead, I was like, oh my God, John's going to have to fight his dad, like zombie version. And
A lot of room there. So then the other problem is too, and now we're just going off on Game of Thrones, but the series like surpassed the books, right? So homeboy who wrote the books didn't have the finish out. So then it becomes up, you know, it's the decision of the TV producers to kind of like close up this story that they didn't start, right? So to me, like I understand, I'm not trying to give them a pass, but I understand like why
it kind of fell apart because they were following a script, you know, or they had a guide, and then all of a sudden they go off on their own devices, and that's why you didn't write Game of Thrones in the first place. So, you know, so if you were that good, you would have written the series in the first place. Yeah, it wasn't you. So I don't know, man. Sad.
That's where we got on the Seinfeld finale question.
Yeah.
Watch Seinfeld so we can actually talk about it, please.
Yeah. I tried. I'm in like the third season. I'm sorry. I'm thinking Curb. I'm in
Curb, season 5. Baby.
That's not.
All right. Before we go on that. I know. I know. That's why I stopped. All right. This one's from Jacob. Has anyone ever insulted you in the ring, but also been so funny that it was hard for you to keep a straight face?
I would probably say, I don't know if he insulted me, but he insulted other people in the match. Carl Anderson has got to be one of the funniest people mid-match. Yes. And I don't want to name who he was burying, but it always caught me good. And sometimes I knew the line was coming, and sometimes the line was the same, but boy, it still caught me good. Like, I was pretty composed on TVs, but the live events, there a lot of times if I'm on the apron, I'm having to, it's, you know, the whole, like you're dabbing, just, you're covering your mouth, like you're tee-heeing and giggling, because Carl is a very, very funny man. But, Gallows and Anderson together, but I'd have to pick Carl. I don't remember him ever slandering me, per se, but him making fun of other people. Our opponents are very funny to you. Yeah.
I think one thing that helps us too. So like with that question, I feel like it's an easier question for more stoic people to go with. Cause I feel like for us, we can just laugh openly, scream laugh. And it's, that's fine. That's them.
Look at New Day. Oh, they're having such a good time out there. No, we just laughing at what's going on, man. I think for me, it was probably, Goldust. I don't think I've been insulted by Goldust, but I've just heard so many stories of like Goldust in the ring, just yelling at somebody for something or another without trying to get like too like inside, I guess. But yeah, Goldust has definitely had some gems.
Give me a minute. You know what I mean?
Probably Goldie.
Okay. And this isn't ever insults at me. I don't think they're even really insults, but I'm going to say for me, probably Sheamus. Because it'd be with you, E, when you guys get face to face and start screaming at me like, what you got, dog? What you got, dog? Huh? You're gonna hit the ropes, dog? Like, so good. So good.
It's like he got all his understanding of like black culture from a random movie on BET that was shot in like 92. That's the way he would talk. Like, bro, we don't use that lingo anymore. So we're so old.
It's so good. I'm crying on the apron just watching y'all. And y'all are both bobbling your hands all back and forth. Like, we're so close. What's for? Pressed up against me.
So literally like nose to nose, bro. I haven't been that close to a person besides my wife or kids. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what? Why? Why are you so close to each other? Just spitting and shaking your hand like D'Lo Brown. Oh, my God.
Bro. It wasn't me. It was him. He was the problem.
Oh, so good. So good. So from SF Native, it's a video game question. What is the best external video game device of all time? And they mean stuff like the Nintendo Light Zappers or the gun or the Power Pad. I think that's the one for track and field. The Super Scope, Super Nintendo, Wii controllers or like the Power Glove for the NES. Things of that nature. What do you think the best one is?
Can you argue with the Power Pad? When the Power Pad came out, I remember, I think someone broke it out at like lunchtime, you know, at school or whatever. And just, I don't know, I feel like it was mind blowing because if you felt like you were actually in the game, you know, like as a kid, that's all you wanted to be. I think I've mentioned this like on a couple of different occasions. We talked about like Nick Arcade and stuff like that. But, you know, as a kid, like that's always a fantasy to like be in the game, you know? So when you played like track and field, for example, and you get on the Power Pad and you get there, you just get to running and like you see the character running, you know, in a, I don't know, I feel like that was awesome. I remember being like really, really let down by the Super Scope. I'm glad that you mentioned that because I, you know, my friend actually had it. I went over to his house all excited because the commercials for the Super Scope were amazing. And then we got there and I'm just like, this is it. Like, I don't know if it was like the gameplay or whatever, but the difference between like the Super Scope and the Power Pad, I don't think there's any external device that brought me as much joy as the Power Pad did.
Well, we have a late submission. In addition to that, it says name a single game you use that pad for other than track and field. Kof.
Ooh.
From Dan Riker. Dan Riker.
You know what? Oh, I can't. But track and field had several other, like it wasn't just one game.
you had all the different events, you know, you had at least like 10 events in there, which were all kind of like different, you know? So maybe I felt like it was a bigger game than it was, but I don't know. I still stand by the power pad, even at four track and field. Yeah. Because what else? I mean,
I'm going to say, so they have Wii controllers on here. I got to go with those just because like when that stuff first came out, playing tennis and bowling and all that stuff, even like the golf, it's like we're in college and like we were obsessed, like almost putting holes through walls playing tennis, you know? So like that changed everything for me.
Yeah, I'm woefully unqualified to speak on the subject, but I did enjoy, I told you about the Wii and Wine nights, right? In college, we're all like 18, 19 years old. And you think it'd be, I don't know, we would have a nice sophisticated night of Wii and Wine. And they both start with WI. So you gotta, why not?
They were 21. They were 21.
Yes, that's what we were. We were 21. Yep. Actually, yep. I actually didn't drink until I was 21. So I must have been 21.
Yes, right? you legally must have been 21.
I'm being legit though. I know you're doing a bit, but I'm being legit. Anyways, we did the same thing playing. Wii was, when it first came out, so much fun. Just swinging violently, legit almost put holes in walls. So I would go with the Wii as well, even though I haven't used as many of these other. I played Duck Hunt back in the day. Mm-hmm. That's about it with the gun. That's all I got.
This is from Jacasio, I believe. Jacasio. It says, what is your funniest or weirdest gym experience?
Weirdest gym? You know what? I see a lot of weird gym experiences like filmed and stuff. But I don't know if I've ever seen anything like so out of the ordinary at a gym. I think there was one random gym we went to. I want to say it was in like West Virginia where the dude, there was a dude practicing. I'm assuming it was Taekwondo. It might have been Tai Chi. I'm not as familiar with the martial art, but he was in there looking like Rex from Napoleon Dynamite, Rex Kwando. So he was in there like actually practicing. And then we were out in the middle of like nowhere. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is not like a movie. This is somebody that's actually practicing these like, you know, katas in Zubas with American flags on them and the American flag bandana and everything. But I feel like that's why I started, because I hope you guys have a better one than that.
This isn't weird per se, but for some reason, I don't remember why, but we had a flight to San Diego. It was me and Woods. We were together. We got to San Diego real early. And this is not weird, but I just remember and love this day. But we got to San Diego real early and we went to a brunch spot and we just had bottomless mimosas. Just a couple brothers, you know, having some bottomless mimosas. We had brunch.
I wasn't wrestling.
Right. And then, but then we had a Lyft. So we used rideshare. We didn't get a rental car that day. And I remember just, you know, being a little enjoying myself a little bit. Yep. And then we decided to go to the gym afterwards. And I remember, you know, that was a very enjoyable day of just being in the gym after having bottomless mimosas, just your boy throwing the weights around, being a little tipsy. That was a good time. I remember that. It's not very weird, but it sticks in my brain because I really enjoyed that day. And I think we should do brunch again. And, you know, I talked to Andreas. Andreas, we had on the podcast a while ago. Mm-hmm. And he's a big proponent of brunch. And there are people on the timeline slandering brunch like it's effeminate or like there's something wrong if a man decides to have brunch. And there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
You don't like brunch because brunch That's might crazy. Be the best meal there is. 10:30, 11 o'clock to have options of breakfast or lunch. Just have a day to leisurely, you can be outside in some shorts eating. Brunch is a fantastic meal. And I have no problem saying that I will enjoy brunch with another man. I have no problem with
not
it
at all. Not at all. I don't know if this, what this is, but we were, I don't know where we were. I know we were overseas and it's always interesting trying to find gyms over there because where the other like the CrossFit gym, as you guys know. So there's like two options of gym. People, you normally find like a CrossFit gym or a more bodybuilding oriented gym. And we went to one that was connected to a building in some sort of like shopping plaza. And we were in there. We noticed there were a bunch of projectors with like big screens. And on these projectors, like for whatever reason, we didn't notice it at first. And then as we looked at it, it was just like compilations of women squatting.
What? Yeah, I remember that one.
And like with weight or just like?
Yeah, no, like fully working out. But everything was just like very like bottom half of the body oriented. And it was like techno music is blaring and it's just like, this is like on loop. And I was like, what is happening? What is this place? And everyone's just like, yeah, this is a normal thing. And like, I'm all right. Well, we're going to, I guess finish up and get out of your hair. but not much weirder than that.
Very strange.
But that's going to be pretty much all the time that we have today.
No, one more. We got time. One more.
Please, one more. Please, okay. Please, one more. I cut it because we keep them long, but we keep them short.
One quick.
Okay. So here we go. Remember, this is from Andrew. It says, remember that awesome picture of New Day at Waffle House? Why'd you turn on waffles?
We never turn on waffles.
No.
It's not a matter of choosing pancakes or waffles. You can enjoy both.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. Like, that people think that there's like a big like breakfast war. Like, you can only eat one thing. It's not a war. You know what I mean? Like, if you like pancakes, you can also like waffles. They're made of the same batter. You know what I'm saying? So like, come on, man. I eat all types of breakfast. I'm sure other people out there too. Like, why are they trying to? It's like people are trying to wedge drive on the breakfast plate. Order what you want, order and eat what you want to eat. And if you want to change it, then change it. So what?
When you think about it, of the breakfast foods, pancakes fly the best.
They do.
Because if we were flinging eggs, scrambled eggs, that's not going to work.
No, I've thought about that, and I think it can work.
It'll work for our purposes.
Right. Just imagine us with a huge vat of eggs, and we scoop up just wet eggs flying everywhere. That's my hope. That's my dream.
Because you love a mess.
I do love a mess.
I would be down if it was a bunch of hard-boiled eggs, and every week there was only one non-hard-boiled egg, so everybody's ready to catch one. Right. Maybe that one person.
Yep. I will say that I don't know if the picture was from the one time that we got the Waffle House sleeves, but I was so excited that Waffle House has sleeves. So they have these, they're like shooter sleeves, like basketball sleeves, but they're for the grill people so they don't burn themselves, you know, on the grill. But one of the servers was kind enough to offer his sleeve, and I actually still have it. It's in my travel bag. But Waffle House was our go-to. For a while, our go-to was Denny's after shows, but then kind of became, I think, Waffle House for the most part when we travel together.
Yay.
Okay, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. We appreciate you so much. If you enjoyed us, hit us with the hashtag New Day Pod on the socials and make sure you tell all your friends to listen to it. Tell them to subscribe anywhere they listen to their podcast. Just search the New Day, click the pink picture of the three black guys' heads on it because that's us. You can catch me on Twitter, on Instagram, at Xavier Woods PhD, on the YouTubes, up, up, down, down. Thank you very much.
You can catch me, Kofi Kingston, at True Kofi on the Twitter and at The True Kofi on Instagram.
And you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at WWE Biggie.
E, what are you wearing?
Oh, snap. I got to tell the people, we got to remind them because we seem to forget that we have these shirts for our podcast, but we do have them. They have our faces on them, but they are for the podcast. And you can find this shirt at WWE Shop. Support your boys. Support the podcast. We love talking to you. And thank you so much for being here to listen to us. But feel free to cop the WWE Shop podcast shirt. And don't forget, we are also selling a shirt for charity. All the proceeds go to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. You can find the link. It's my pinned tweet on Twitter, and it is in my bio on Instagram.
That'll wrap things up. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.